Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Hua. You're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. You are tuned into my year-end episode of the show, and I have an exciting interview featuring house music legend, none other than Mark Farina. I'll get to that shortly, but first up, let's check out this week's Tracks of the Week. This will begin with an artist that I interviewed over the summer. It's Toronto's Lisa Shaw collaborating with Dax on Sax for a deep house beauty called The Other Side. Enjoy this. Okay, a couple of really nice tracks of the week there. Varied music for sure. That bass-heavy finishing track was Nathan Barrato with one titled Royal Hippo, again preceded by the beautiful vocal stylings of Lisa Shaw and her track The Other Side. On to the feature for tonight's show. He'll be playing here in Vancouver on Friday the 22nd at the Imperial Theatre. I was really fortunate to get an interview with this guy. It is my pleasure to present my interview with Mark Farina. This is a longer interview than I normally run, but I really wanted to highlight a number of the tracks considering his 30-year career in the industry. I also wanted to showcase a broader variety of the type of tracks that he's done, the first three being more down-tempo and dubby. Full track list is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this, and I will be back in a bit. This is DJ Wah speaking to Mark Farina, a DJ and producer originally from Chicago who has been producing and remixing since 1989, a true legend in the house music scene. He's featured on BBC's Essential Mix, released 8 volumes in his Mushroom Jazz series, and spanning a period of 20 years. He's also been released on a multitude of prominent labels, including Fabric, Ohm, and Defected, just to name a few. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Mark Farina. So to start off with, how would you define your sound?
I would say proper Chicago deep house. I was fortunate to be around the growing scene in Chicago in the late 80s, early 90s. So Chicago house, and then the other kind of style I have is Mushroom Jazz, which is kind of a hybrid old school East Coast hip hop mixed with acid jazz in kind of that early 90s era as well. And I like a lot of disco and funk.
So you kind of hopped me up a question there. Can you describe what it was actually like growing up in Chicago during the 80s at the dawn of house music and how that inspired you to produce and DJ with the kind of music you do?
Yeah, at the time, I didn't really realize how awesome it was to be in Chicago in that period. And as I started to travel and, you know, realize that not everywhere had all the elements going on that we had growing up in Chicago. So in that late 80s period, you know, like on the radio, we would be able to listen to mixes. You know, this is like 86 to 89 of like the Hot Mix 5 and a lot of old school, like we call them the first generation of Chicago house DJs, which would be like Farley, Jackmaster Funk, the Hot Mix 5, which was Ralphie Rosario, Mike Hitman Wilson, Steve Still Curly, and kind of Fast Eddie, and the names of all that kind of early crew would be on the radio every day. There was a mix at 6 every day of the week. There was a lunch mix. And then, of course, on the weekend, you know, on Friday and Saturday night, there was mixes every night from, you know, 7, 8 p.m. until midnight. You know, they'd play an hour mix, and then each DJ would switch off every hour. And these were, at the time, there was an African-American contemporary radio station. Like, you know, these are main FM stations, not just sort of just college radio, which there was good college radio in Chicago from the likes of WNUR, but these were sort of main high-powered stations. And for a long time in Chicago, unlike New York, there was no hip-hop. Like, hip-hop didn't make its way into the Chicago radio scene for quite a, you know, after the fact, in a way. These stations were just playing house music in that 86 to 89 period. So, you know, we would sit there with our cassette decks and record the mix. And so, you know, growing up around that, and I was also into another Chicago-y label called Wax Tracks prior to house music, which was kind of a little more industrial, new wave kind of style. And we used to go to a club, Medusa's, which was this all-age juice bar thing that would stay open till like 7, 8 in the morning. You know, even, you know, Little Lewis did a Sunday night there, but the kind of the more industrial new wave nights were Friday, Saturday. And, you know, it was not abnormal for like Front 242 to come on at like 4 in the morning and play, or Ministry or someone that is, you know, Revolting Cox or any of those people on Wax Track. So it was sort of definitely a good place in Chicago at that late 80s time to hear a whole variety of music.
When approaching an airport for landing instructions, a pilot must call before he enters the airport control zone. As a matter of fact, the initial call should be made at least 10 miles from the airport.
To begin clearing, looking out. stands for. A la boom da, boom da, boom da.
How would you say the scene has really evolved or changed since you began then to now?
I mean, geez, there's so many facets that have evolved into different ways. I mean, obviously, a big one is the whole thing from analog to digital, from vinyl to, you know, now playing a variety of ways at clubs. You know, just starting off, it was, we just would all play records, you know, and even the first club nights I had back in the 89, you know, period when I started, 88, you know, just vinyl all night. So you'd have to bring 3 or 4 crates of record to a club to play. And like back then too, DJs would play all night. You just wouldn't do like a 2-hour set. It was, you know, one DJ would have Thursday at X variable club, one DJ had Friday and so on. So, you know, once you were playing at a club back then, you'd be playing from, you know, 9 p.m. till 3-4 in the morning, and all on vinyl. So, you know, it's a big difference, especially now where, you know, long sets aren't quite the norm. You know, you'll get multiple DJs in a night is more of a commonplace thing. And of course, the whole digital aspect of, you know, especially with computers and all that, things have just changed quite a bit. And I think the overall speed of music has progressed quite a bit since the vinyl days, where, you know, things would come out each week, different vinyl releases. You know, it was a little harder to put out a record. You know, a record takes some effort, as opposed to, not saying now that digital music doesn't take an effort, but your barriers have been broken down in terms of what you need these days to release a song, as opposed to 25 years ago. You know, back then you needed a proper studio, you needed a lot of sort of certain elements to come into play. You needed an acetate to play it, you know, like I think the only way back then to play something, like we used to play something, it was called a pitch cassette player you would bring if you wanted to play an unreleased thing, or reel to reel. Now with the sped up pace of music, things have, you know, changed. It's just the amount of releases right now per week are pretty crazy. You know, like the songs kind of in this day and age cycle through pretty quick. Like a shelf life of a track is, I think, a lot shorter than 20 years ago.
Can you tell me when you realized that this was morphing out of being a hobby into an actual career for you, and what that was like?
I want to say that was still in that like close to 1990 period, 89-ish. I was a waiter somewhere. I was still going to college and sort of had to give up a waiter shift or two to play a DJ gig. And money-wise, it equaled the same thing, like my tips in one night. My tips in one night would equal what I would get paid DJing. And back then, you know, sort of the DJ, you know, starting off, it was like $15 or $20 an hour we'd get for DJing. You know, in that 88, 89 period, it wasn't, you know, like I said, nothing fancy. And then, you know, once I had to sort of stop asking my parents for money to pay bills and that type of things, and I realized that whoa, I could sort of, you know, create an existence off this. And there wasn't many, I mean, like I was mentioning with those mixes on the radio, like the two radio stations in Chicago were WBMX and WGCI. And even those, that didn't really pay a lot. So like, it was still early in that whatever late 80s period. It wasn't quite a proven thing that you could make a living DJing. You know, it was sort of like when you got to get a real job, like, you know, it's going to come soon. It's inevitable. And then, you know, even at that time in Chicago in that late 80s, like there wasn't a lot of guest DJs that would come in. That was like sort of a new thing, sort of pre-rave scene, where there was the existence of DJs coming from another town to play somewhere. That was all starting to come to shape in that time. So it wasn't really a proven element that you could sort of make a living being a DJ. And then I worked at a record store all those years too. And, you know, vinyl costs money. You had to find a way to sort of supply your need for vinyl.
When you are performing live, what is your DJ setup and why?
Nowadays, the DJ setup is basically just a Pioneer CDJ 2000 Nexus 2s. You know, if they can have more of them, that's cool. Like, you know, three CDJs. I still play vinyl sometimes, but it has to be sort of for a DJ, like a local DJ, you know, that plays vinyl at that specific venue on a regular basis. Because, you know, it's kind of a lost art to set up records properly. You know, you need a sort of a lot of proper sound reinforcement, cement, or hung turntables. So generally now it's... And I use like a hard drive that I plug into the USB. And I used to use the USB sticks for quite some time, but I found that they're so small, like I was always worried I was going to lose one. So now I kind of move to a little bigger hard drive that I know I'm not going to lose, okay, or forget about or something or fall out of my pocket. So that's sort of the basic setup.
When you are performing, how much of your sets are planned in advance, or do you just sort of go on the fly and play with the crowd?
Yeah, it's kind of always on the fly, basically. I mean, I have new stuff that I'm into because, of course, this world of promos are so fast. You know, I get a bunch of new stuff that, all right, this is new and it's hot. There's, just, of course, certain new jams that you're going to want to rock. So, but yeah, so nothing is planned. Like, I like to feel it out, you know, sometimes because I have a lot of different styles. I like to play, you know, within like that sort of original Chicago sound, like the Chicago house sound, you know, used to be quite a variety. It wasn't that it was pre sort of all these subgenres. You know, back when we started, it was either you played techno or house, and that was kind of the dividing line. you know, now there's whatever, you know, tech house and whatever filter house, you know, there's all kinds of subdivisions of house within a realm of a set. It could be anything minimal, tracky. It could be a vocal, it could be something disco-y, you know, sort of feel out the realm and see what people are into and take it from there.
It took years of pain, struggle, and strife from not knowing the upstep stage. Sound check, your act shows with the nice confidence, critically precise. Reassuring my brother, rolling the dice, making life ice locked on new blocks, promoters, and cities. Alone on the road, 10, well below 50. What a pity. It comes down to mics and a pillow. Couple handshakes, hash browns, and a hello from a fan to make it worthwhile with the plan. A couple more miles than any man should have. Unlimited time with unlimited rhymes to give for B-boys unified in towns where they live worldwide. And at the same time, it's still cold. Thousand miles away with your life on hold. At home in other time zones, doing our best. Traveling, train to plane, stretching out, getting rest in a comfortable position. Show rocking missions, looking for an audience, a crowd that'll listen. And it happens, put my worthwhile in my rap and a paycheck in the form of loud hand clapping. Back to the hotel, next night, same thing. Nothing glamorous, we're just doing our thing. And go back to the hotel, same thing. Nothing glamorous, we're just doing our thing.
I come home to shadiness at least 80% of the time, cause I was out getting mine, tripping, kicking the rhyme. Oakland don't understand, it's why it's getting better each time. Chilling in the spotlights, corona in line. When I point, it's the joint, y'all, I'm having a ball. Traveling without the battling, who's weak and who's raw. Just in the state of mind, I'm partying and ripping rhymes. Smoking out the green room, cracking jokes, drinking wine. But sometimes I unwind to find myself sober. Ain't called home in about a week, technically it's overseas. Where I'ma find myself at the bottom of this. Chain smoking anything, hollering at Chris. He say he going through. What we gotta do, I said we gotta interview at a 2:30. With all feelings aside, the sound check at 5:00. Be upset to rock another night. Out of 30 of them, keep the greens coming. You come and I can refine over to the next date line and dealing with time. An all-star rap show, proving the thought. Keeping it moving country to country, the state be heavy. But you see, I got obligations at home. My mind telling me, so what's having relations at home? All I can do is stay high and focus on the people. It's that angel and the devil, and he's sitting fucking with me. I'm LA International bound, pack up the sound head west. I got smooth intentions on breaking necks. But first, I'm heading to the bank with the big grin. There's a couple that know I'm coming back to do it again. And I'm talking about you.
Kiss your mama goodbye, we're hitting the road. No two of us carrying our own load. So throw it in a bag, pack it up and let's go. Travel around the globe, trying to rock a fresh show. Kiss your mama goodbye, we're hitting the road. No two of us carrying our own load. So throw it in a bag, pack it up and let's go. Travel around the globe, trying to rock a fresh show.
When you're producing music, which DAW do you produce with?
I'm still old school. I just use Gear.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And MIDI. I don't use any sort of programs. So it's just, yeah.
Okay.
MPC 4000 and various MIDI gear, drum machines, etc.
What do you prefer about that to the digital stuff?
I always like the hands-on approach. And I know digital has advantages as well. You can do a lot of stuff you can't do with just gear. But I like touching things and moving stuff around and creating stuff sort of on the fly. Instead of, say, thinking of a mix down in your head and sort of organizing a track while you're making it, you know, in terms of the arrangement, more about just pressing buttons and a feel. Like, oh, I want the kick drum now. I want this hi-hat now. I want this bass line now. And, you know, I want this whatever sample to come in here, and just sort of touching everything. So that's always been my preference.
Now, this might be a stretch. Can you think of two or three tracks that you have made over the years that you're most proud of producing?
I mean, it's sort of a no-brainer, I guess, with Sean Hayes was Dream Machine. He was my neighbor at the time, and like I had another, he was roommates with my neighbor. My neighbor, you know, was like, hey, you gotta meet my friend Sean. You know, he's a folk musician. So, you know, he came over, and, you know, I know he's sort of a, you know, like a great songwriter and all, and had all this stuff going on, but, you know, he's definitely not from the electronic realm. So we just sort of mixed things together and, you know, came up with Dream Machine. I mean, another track would be on Ohm. Radio was one of my favorites. It was just an old Ohm track, and, you know, that was, like I said, done on, you know, MPC and all analog gear and that type of thing. And I think my first EP was on Panhandle, which was stuff I really liked as well, like just a way of juxtaposing samples and all kinds of stuff. And then I used to be in a group with Derek Carter and Chris Nazuka. We were on KMS Records out of Detroit. We had a song, like a 12-inch Mood, that was on KMS Records. So that was just a great experience. We recorded that in Detroit in that late 80s period at KMS Studios, and back when KMS Studios and Metroplex, which was Juan Atkins' label, was next door, and then Derek May's label, Transmat, was upstairs. So that was just a great period to be in Detroit and hanging out with those guys.
Kayang Aiken Radio.
Back it down.
Aquating Radio. 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 Kayang Aiken Radio.
Back it down.
Aquating Radio.
Bam, come on, bam, come on.
Kayang Aiken Radio.
Back it down.
Aquating Radio. Kayang Aiken Radio.
Back it down.
Aquating Radio.
Bam, come on, bam, come on.
Kayang Aiken Radio.
Back it down.
Aquating Radio.
So over your career, are there any countries or specific clubs or events that you've absolutely loved to play at?
I mean, I'm fortunate to have been to a lot of places. I mean, a couple off the top of my head would be, you know, Sub Club Glasgow, awesome place. Yellow Tokyo, another amazing club. I mean, now the newer one in Tokyo is Contact. In Paris, Rex Club is an amazing place. You know, Chicago, my first residency was Smart Bar back in 1988, 89. And I was still playing Smart Bar to this day. You know, I love Smart Bar. It's like my home. So yeah, there's a lot of amazing places. Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint just a couple, but those are just a few.
Okay, and you can answer this or not answer it, but have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong?
Oh, let me think. I mean, I want to say, I mean, one time I remember playing in Chicago a long time ago, and there was an old acid track, Sleazy D, I've Lost Control. I don't know if you're familiar with it. On acid tracks, or it's on Tracks Records out of Chicago. And I was playing that song, and a big fight broke out on the dance floor. And that wasn't too cool, but it was kind of funny that if you've ever heard the song, it's like, I've lost control. And with a crazy acid track going on, and like this fight broke out, it was kind of crazy. We had to like cut the music, and like security came, you know, barging in and had to break it up.
Coming to all the backyard parties, you know, every rapper was showing up to cookouts. That was the thing, you know. Hip-hop for us was on the weekend. Even on a mainstream level, it was only on the weekend.
What do you feel more passionate about, DJing or producing?
I mean, they're both fun in their own way, I would say. I mean, obviously, I'm a lot more of a DJ because I just do that more, but there's certain satisfaction from producing that is different in its own way. But I do like seeing sort of people responding to music, you know, and getting feedback. You know, you can see what's going on and see how they appreciate the music. Something about just DJing and seeing, you know, people responding like on the fly, you know, especially when you're playing for like a crowd that, you know, is knowledgeable and knows blends and all that kind of thing, you know, like you know, it's, of course, say like an old Chicago crowd, you know, like when you start to mix in something and they know you're mixing and feed off that, you know, it's a great feeling. You know, they know you're not just playing like a track that's, you know, it's more than just playing a track that's made that way. They know you're actually mixing and get energy from that.
Now, you've mentioned a bunch of guys and a lot of guys over the course of the interview here. Can you tell me one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
I mean, of course, one of my favorites still is Derek Carter, one of my best old mates from way back when. And I mean, to me, he just sort of, every time he plays, he kills it and has such a knowledge of music, and he can mix blindfolded and not even looking, and you know, he'll never miss a beat. You know, he's definitely one of the most solid people I've heard. Let me think, who else? I mean, DJ Spinna is another one I'm truly into. You know, his skills, you know, he can play hip-hop as well. He played with everything, disco, funk. So, you know, I appreciate when DJs can do different genres and not just play one style. I mean, I'm still kind of like, you know, the old Stretch Armstrong days, I was kind of into Stretch Armstrong, hip-hop, and scratching. So for me, for hip-hop and scratching, you know, he's one of the best. And then DJ Premier, of course, is another one who's like, you know, just that kind of old school New York style of hip hop scratching.
Final question here. So what is your vision for the future of yourself production-wise and also in DJing?
Production-wise in the future, I mean, I've been working with a buddy of mine in San Francisco, Romero Espinoza, and we're doing a lot of good things. And he, like I said, he comes from the more digital realm. I'm still doing the old school analog-y thing, but so we got a lot of great tracks coming in that, and then working on maybe some collaborations with some other people in the future as well, rappers, whatnot, sort of working direct with some different style vocalists, and maybe even working on sort of a mushroom jazz live band thing, because in the works, you know, being able to adapt to new new situations, and like I mentioned, you know, playing, trying to find the good new unheard hidden tracks. You know, it's always been sort of a knack I've had, you know, searching out good new artists and then combining them with like a lot of old sort of known like true house goodies.
Okay, this has been Mark Farina. He'll be here in Vancouver at the Imperial on Friday, December 22nd, and tickets are still available online. A selection of Mark Farina tracks can be found on Beatport, iTunes, Juno Download, and all the usual outlets, and a full list of Mark Farina web links can also be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Thank you for doing this.
I could rig up a fog machine too, and I'll crank some tunes, really get them dancing. Rig up a fog machine too, and I'll crank some tunes, really get them dancing. I could rig up a fog machine too, and I'll crank some tunes, really get them dancing.
Nikkei National Museum's Hastings Park 1942 exhibit marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese-Canadian internment. Visit the exhibit until January 13th to see Japanese Problem, a contemporary performance piece which offers a glimpse into a dark episode of history at the Pianese Livestock Barn. Nikkei National Museum is located in Burnaby and entry is by donation.
I'm Melissa. I'm a settler from Epiquette, or Prince Edward Island, the traditional territories of the Mi'kmaq peoples.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm Jewish and Korean and grew up mostly in Shawnee territory in the United States.
My name is Autumn Schnell, and I am Treaty 11 Gwich'in and Inuvialuit on my mom's side, and on my dad's side, I am of German descent.
And we're members of the Indigenous Collective.
Do you have a passion for Indigenous issues?
What about decolonization?
Our show, Unceded Airways, airs every Monday at 11 a.m., so come by CITR to hang out.
If you're interested in Indigenous representation and empowerment, or just want to hang out with cool folks who are, then this collective is for you.
Email volunteer at CITR.ca to get involved.
Have you ever used or wanted to use a community lending library, collective workshop, or bike co-op? Come out to Making Space, Questioning Power and Privilege in Makerspaces on Wednesday, November 29th in the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood House from 5 to 8 p.m. to examine how power and privilege shows up in makerspaces and explore strategies that support more inclusive and equitable initiatives. Go to diversityandmakerspaces.eventbrite.ca to register for this event, and there'll be free food.
I call it transcendence. I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
Okay, welcome back to Techno Progressivo. I hope you enjoyed that interview there with Mark Farina. I would definitely recommend checking him out at the Imperial on the night of the 22nd just to see his skill, his experience, and the musical knowledge in action. Thanks a lot to him for agreeing to do this for tonight's show. We are done for another episode and another year. Full track list for all that you heard on tonight's show can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. And if you enjoyed the show, check it out again in podcast form, either at iTunes or at CITR.ca. Up next is going to be Smiley Mike with Transcendence, where you can check out things for your weekly transfix. We are almost done, but first let's set the controls in the time machine, as we always do for this week's track from the past. And from this, we hop back 19 years in time to 1998 for a jam from Canadian techno legend John Acquaviva. This is a classic from his first EP called Presents Groove Machine. This is a nice swinging bass line. It's called You Can Get It. Enjoy this. Have a really nice Christmas. Have a nice holiday. And I will see you back here the second Sunday of the new year.
Girl, anytime, tonight is fine. I got
satisfied. I got my mind made up. Come on, you can get it, girl. Anytime.
Say what?
Tonight is fine. I got my mind made up. Come on, you can get it, girl. Anytime.
Say what?
Tonight is fine. I got my mind made up. Come on, you can get it, girl.